So we are going to be doing a Shinai and Vav today, Bezras Hashem. The Siman begins the concept of these Ma'amados. What is the purpose of Ma'amados? So the Nimuke Yosef writes, as cited in the Darkei Moshe, Lomar ki acha yitein alibo, ki olam v'chol inyanav, hema hevel, v'ashrei misham ala batorah, uv'maisim tovim. And the Prisha adds that they encourage a person to do tshuva. And so that's the idea of all these things. You go, you stop seven times to commemorate the seven times it says hevel havalim. It's sort of interesting, you know, you might have thought that just going to the Levaya would be enough to remind everybody about the futility of life. But alas, that's not the case. It needs to be reinforced. And that is why we have all these practices. Nevertheless, we saw most of these customs are no longer practiced, at least the way they were originally practiced, that we still have some remnants of some of them. And one should follow what your custom is. What we're going to primarily talk about is the Inyan of Nichum Avelim today. So the Rambam writes in Perek Yadalad, Mitzvah Saseh Shal Devrayim, Levakar Chol, Mulunachim Avelim, Lotzi Ames, etc., etc. And he concludes that Halach Afal Pishik Mil Chasadim Shebegufo, Afal Pishik Kol Mitzvos Eilud Midevrayim, Kamocha, Kol Vem Shata Rotze, Shiyasu Osam Lachachirim, Aseata Osan, Lachicha, Betov Mitzvos. I think Menachem talked about earlier in this man an interesting question: why Rambam doesn't include this in Halachta Bidrachav and the like. So in that parak Halacha Zayin, he adds about Nichum Avelim, Yirali Shenechamas Avelim. If you have a clash between Bikur Cholim and Nichum Avelim, you should do Nichum Avelim. So, interestingly enough, Nichum Avelim, we generally think about it as in terms of comforting those who are in mourning. It's also Chesed im Hameisim. So, presumably, the idea is that the mace, the nifter, is misnachem by your going to visit. And this is manifested in various halachos in our siman. So, for example, in Sif Gimel, we have the idea based off the Gemara and Shabbos, off Kufnun Beis Med Aleph, that even if there's no Avelim L'Hisnachem, so then 10 people come and sit in his place, and everybody else gathers. And apparently, and the idea is that the Neshama is associated with the place where he died or the place where he lived, perhaps. The idea, again, is certainly beyond our ability to understand, but somehow or another, you know, though death is the separation of the guf and the neshama, but it's not a pashut separation. It's one which takes place over time. It's one which seems to be difficult, perhaps traumatic for the soul. The soul comes to grips with the reality that things might not be so good. And the soul has a difficult time separating from the physical world. And so the soul, before the burial, hangs around the body, as we saw. After the burial, might hang around the place where he died or the like. Therefore, when we do Nichum Avelim, we're doing Chesed im Hameisim as well. That might be, I was wondering why perhaps the Lashon that we say when we do Nichum Avelim is Hamakom Menachem Eschem. And we say that Lashon of plural, even if there's only one Avel there. So I don't know if this is the Pshat, but maybe we're also being Kolel, the Mace, the Nifter, the Neshama. I'm not sure. Anyhow, the Ramban writes, it's quoted by the Shulta Giborim in Moed Katan, that the Iker Nichum Lemeis is to daven Shmona Esrei there in the place that he died, which is why, like we said before, when you can the Shiva house or the Shiva minion in a place of the death. That's preferable. Oftentimes that's not shaykh nowadays, especially because people don't always die at home anymore, but that's where that idea comes from. Now, when should we start? So there is a minhag that some people have not to do nichum aveilim in the first 3 days. Is there a basis for this? So the idea would seem to be that we know shlosha lebechi, the first 3 days of Elos are primarily focused on the bechia. So maybe you would think we shouldn't be menachem him, let him cry. However, this is very hard to understand. I saw in the Tshuvos van Hagos Chelek Dalet on page Shin Lamed Tes, he writes that Adarav, if no one shows up for the first 3 days, he's going to feel lonely. He's going to be, you're going to make him feel bad. And that goes against the spirit. I remember that I made a Shiva call on the first day. And I was, as I was going in, I was thinking, is this the first day? And I was there for about 5 minutes and then in came Rabbi Willett. So, to be honest, I think I went that day because it was more convenient. I think it was a Sunday maybe, and probably I was too very willing as well. Certainly, I think like Rosh Sternbach said, if we're dealing with someone with whom we're close and we don't come for 3 days, that might hurt the person, and one would think that it's appropriate. Also, in that tshuva, on the previous page, he talks about the idea that when you're at the Beis Avel, so you should talk about stories about the Nifter, and that will hopefully bring about a Nechama. He says you shouldn't talk about random things. And he brings a raya from a din we'll see a little bit later here, that in a Beis Avel, you're not supposed to say Shmua Ve'agada. So Kol Shekain to talk about Stam Shtos. Now, I think what his raya is that besides the general din of the Isser of Talmud Torah, there's also a din in not having Shmur Vagada in the Beis Avel. We'll talk about the parameters of that halacha, in which case certainly one would think that to stam talk about silly things is inappropriate. Of course, obviously, person doesn't always have control of the conversation, but that's certainly something to keep in mind. As we said before, a big part of the is saying Hamakom Menachem. I saw different formulations of that in the Sfarim, but I think I heard from Rav Shachter that the Iker is to say Hamakom Menachem, and he argues that's why Dafka, that's Aser Kodem HaKvura. In other words, even though we're not Menachem Kodem Kvura, we do sometimes go and talk to the person, try to help them. What's changed is that we don't actually formally bench them with that tefillah. One of the halachos, of course, is that Ein HaMenachem Hashem Leftoach, the Menachem shouldn't begin to speak until the Avel speaks first. Why? So the Bush says, the time of the Mistaber Hu, Kilomar, Shumas Chilaharos Tzaro Shemitzdar Ma'od, So we want him to express his tsar. Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted as saying, well, if that's the case, so he doesn't have to actually begin to speak. If he groans or sighs or he's nenach, so that would be enough because he's certainly shown us he's mitzdayer. Now, I think the more pashup shot, the reason for this halacha is that the goal is to show us that he wants to be makabel tanchum and he wants to talk. We don't want to impose ourselves onto him. And therefore, we respect that. So if he wants to be quiet, then we should remain quiet. And sometimes that might be the preference of the avel. He's not yet in the mood to talk. He'd rather just be silent. And other times, the opposite is true. He'll want to talk. We should. And I've been told by Avelin that they didn't always appreciate people speaking, and they would have preferred that this halacha be followed and that people wait till they begin. Now, the Chazon Ish is quoted as saying, it's from the Per Hador in the Tanei Baruch, that if that's the case, so let's say the Avel is afraid to speak, maybe because he's embarrassed or shy. In other words, you sense that he would want to talk, but he's too scared. So they say that when Chazon Ish came to Pesach V'Kol, that was often the case, right? Imagine talking in front of the Chazon Ish. So therefore, the Chazon Ish would be. And the point was that he at least felt, at least in certain circumstances, that the Avel's reticence and silence was just because he was afraid, he was scared. And if the Chazon Ish hadn't begun the conversation, then he wouldn't be able to be menachem him. There would be batal nichum aveilim. So as such, it was the right thing for him to start. Though, again, I think that there are times that that's not the case. There are times that perhaps the Avel doesn't speak because the Avel would prefer to remain silent. The Poskim say that even if the Avel does remain silent and therefore the Menachem remains silent, you could still conclude with Hamakom Menachem Eschem, though it's an interesting question why that is. Maybe it's more of a bakasha or a bracha, but that's okay. In the Tshuvos v'Hanhagos, Chelek Beis Simen Tav Kuf Pei Zayin, he quotes from the Griz, from the Brisker Rav, that you could be Mekayim the mitzvah through sending a letter. In other words, Slav Dafka Dibor, which might also indicate that really it's not so much about what you say, even if you say nothing, it's about being there. And again, this is also something that I've heard from Avelim, that a big part of they're seeing people come. And even I think just your presence can make a big difference. Also worthy to remember that the mitzvah is not just during the Shiva. That's a great time. And the halacha is if you see someone after the Shiva's over, you would still say, Malkom Menachem Eschem, for Avelim other than the parents for 30 days, and for parents, all Yud Beis Chodesh afterwards, then you just say Tisnachem. But the mitzvah is not limited to when they're sitting Shiva. What about a telephone? So if you take a look at the Pnine HaRav, so Shechter quotes from the Rav that it's not their heretz to make a phone call. Why? Because what's going to happen? You phone them and then you're making the Avel get up and answer the phone. So it could be that that's a little bit dated, meaning to say, you know, once upon a time, so you made a phone call, like even when I was a kid, you know, if we got a phone call, you'd have to walk over to the kitchen and stand by the cabinet and answer, talk on the phone. So that's not so nice to make the Avel get up. Adirabba, he's a Mesa Barosh. Over here, they're going to bring the phone to him. So maybe that particular concern isn't relevant. And Rav Moshe's a tshuva about this. Rav Moshe's Egos Moshe Chelek Dalet Simen Mem Osir Aleph. And he says that at least you're Mekayim part of the mitzvah with the Avel. In other words, it might not be, we said before that Nichum Avelim is mitzvah, it's Chesed HaMachayim B'im HaMesim. So whether you're Mekayim the mitzvah B'im HaMesim via telephone or letter for that matter, that might not be the case. But at least in Mekayim, if they would appreciate it, then you should. But he writes, they're obviously, if you're able to come, then you should go. In a case where you're unable to make a personal visit, but you feel like the Avel will appreciate a phone call, so then that would be the right thing to do. And you should do your best. We're not prophets to try to figure out what's gonna give him a Anachama. In terms of the Lashon of Hamakom Menachem Eschem, just two ha'aros. One is there's a beautiful shtickel also from the Rav in Pnine Rav, it's page Reish Tes, and he says that it's interesting, he says there are three places where we find the word Hamakom used to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the base Avel, Lel Yom Kippur, we begin the davening Aldas Hamakom Aldas HaKal, And at the Leil HaSeder, we say Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. He says, why these three places? Because these are three times where there's especially a special opportunity to feel kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yom Kippur, for obvious reasons, at the Leil HaSeder, and even at a time of Tzara, that too is a time where perhaps we're awoken from the busyness of life, and hachayitin alibo, and it is a time for a special kirva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I thought you could also add, actually, this any eis tzara. That's why we say in achenu hamakom yirachem, right? Hamakom. So it's the same idea of using hamakom in that context. What about shar avelim v'yush? Why are we kolel this avel with shar avelim? So this idea is cited by the Maharil. And it's based off of the bracha that we say also on Tisha B'Av, the bracha of Nachem, which and we'll see, is added to the Birkas HaMazon in the base Avel, used to be. And the pshat is that we're kolel the avelos of this particular Avel with Shar Avelitzin Rishalayim, with avelos of the base HaMikdash. In other words, we make it something bigger. We talked about this in Bikur Cholim when we say why we're Kola, we say Shar Chol Yisrael. Here we do the same thing, but we go even further. And we appreciate that this loss, while a personal and individual loss, is also part of the bigger loss experienced in Kol Yisrael with the lack of Beis HaMikdash. One of the halachos is that if a rav or a gadol walks in, the avel does not have to stand up and show kavod. The mashmos is that it's mutter, it's just aser for the rav to say to the avel, shave, because that sounds like shave b'aveluscha. If the avel wishes to stand, he may, but he doesn't have to. Why doesn't he have to? It's a mitzvah. So Rabbi Veger says over here that this is not considered a kimash yesh b'hidr. Why? So he's rolling in the dirt, and therefore to stand up for the Rav is not an act of kavod. Same thing would apply presumably on Tisha B'Av. The Badei Shulchan over here, Sifkatan Yud Aleph, adds some additional svaros as well. He's Trudim B'Tzar, there's presumed Mechila, we compare the Avel to a Melech, he's Mesa Barosh. It would seem that for the most part these reasons don't apply on Shabbos, in which case the Avel should stand up. Though maybe Mesa Barosh still applies on Shabbos, but I think for the most part we would assume that the Avel would stand up on Shabbos because he's not Mol, and therefore would be the right thing to do. In the Darkei Moshe, Sif Vav, he quotes from the Gemara in Baal Kaman, this is also cited in the Shulchan Aruch over here, that says, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Shachiv Lebartei, Amulei Rabbanu Lula Nezel Mar Nichamte Amar Lahu My Nezel Gabe Nichamta De Bavloi De Gidufahi De Amri My Efsher Le Lemavad Lech Lemavad Ha Efsher Avdinan. So this is a very fascinating idea. The idea, and this is something that's very very hard for everybody, I suppose, but especially Avelim. The Avelim, oftentimes, were the people caring for the deceased. And for weeks, months, years, they've been working so hard to help them with their medical needs, taking them to this doctor, preparing for this surgery, oftentimes making choices. Should we do this or do that? And it's a lot of hishtadlus. And anytime a person's involved in hishtadlus, so when it's natural to presume that the hishtadlus is going to be what determines the result. And therefore, when the avel dies, sorry, when the mace, when the person dies, the avel will oftentimes think, oh, you know, I should have done this or I shouldn't have done that. You hear that a lot when you go to a base avel, we should have done this, you know. And that's not the right approach. After the person dies, the approach has to be this was Ratzon Hashem. They died because Hashem wanted them to die. And it doesn't matter what we would have done. Nothing we would have done would have changed anything. The reason why they died is because Hashem decreed that they should die. And to start second-guessing yourself implies a lack of faith. And that's what the Gemara over here is saying, that it's saying even to say, you know, what could have been done, as if to imply if there was something we could have done, it is gidufa. And certainly to start second-guessing yourself. And that's a big avoda. Another thing that the Darkei Moshe over here quotes is that a person should not say, the avol shouldn't say, lo nifrati kafi ma'asai. It's also based off of a Gemara in Mishmesu. I wasn't, why? Because it's al yiftach piv l'satan, you know, I deserved more, basically. I know it should have been worse. I should have gotten more punishments, or I should have gotten more suffering, or whatever it is. So that opens up your mouth to the Satan. There used to be a radio show. I forgot what the host's name was. But whenever anybody would call in and ask the radio host, you know, how you doing? He would always respond, better than I deserve. So Yesh Lion, is that a violation of this din cited here in the Shulchan Aruch? So it's interesting, because if you look at the Ramban in his Pirshah HaTorah by Yaakov Avinu says, Katonti mikol chasadim umikol ha'emes. So what does that mean exactly? Rashi says, Nismatu z'chuyosai, but the Ramban says that's wrong. And he says, what does katonti mean? Lomar ki katon hu miyoso ra'oi l'chol chasadim sha'asimo. Indeed, Yaakov Avinu was saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am not deserving of all the goodness you gave to me. So Yesh Lion, is that different than here? I mean, what's the difference between I'm not worthy of all the goodness that you've given to me, and lo nifra'ati kefi ma'asai? In one case, we say it's wrong. In one case, presumably, what Yaakov did was correct. So I think you could answer this question in different ways. One way is to say that when it's an expression of Hakar Satov, then it's certainly okay. As opposed to saying, you know, I deserve more punishment than I've been given, that's an invitation to the Satan. The Birkei might say a similar thing over here in Siman Shinayin Vav Os Beis. He writes, V'hadach Siv lo kechataeinu asa lanu v'lo ka'avonoseinu gamal aleinu, which would seem to say that we deserve worse. Rabim Shani. That's what his first answer is. Then he says, V'yirah l'chalik shebein shalila l'chiyav. So that's his answer. So again, that's what you're saying, the difference between focusing on positive versus the negative. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks that maybe this din is limited to someone sitting Shiva. That's why it's paskind over here, because it's a time of Kitrig, like we saw, you know, when Yidel Kol Chabur Kula in Iraq, that the Malach HaMaves is Munach Al Tzavaron, etc., etc. So maybe Dafka at this time, it's inappropriate. Saying halal at a base avel. So the Taz Sifkatan base writes that we don't say halal in base avel. He says there's two reasons. Number one is sheisham aninus, and number two, meaning sadness. Number two, mishum loy l'rash, because you're saying lo ha-meisim yihaluka, which reflects again the idea that the mace here is in the base avel and the neshama of the mace, and therefore we're taunting him. The poskim l'chora debate, and it might depend on these two reasons, what the gather of this din is and how it's practiced. Specifically, is it a din in the base avel or is it a din in the avel? So should you not say halal in the base avel, or is the pshat of the avel should say halal? So if you look at the Taz, I think the pashas in the Taz is, it sounds like the din in the base avel. And that is indeed the way the Mishnah Berurah seems to as well. Simen Kuf Lamed Beis, Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Chaf. Also, the Aruch HaShulchan over here sounds this way. It's a din in a base avel. We don't say Hallel at all in the base Avel. For the reasons that we said, also he adds, you know, it's not in keeping, you know, everything's good by us. So, and the Pesachei Teshuva also has such an opinion cited. As opposed to the Noda Bihuda, who's quoted in Pesachei Teshuva Sefkatan Aleph, who sounds like it's a din in the Avel. How could the Avel say, Zayom Asa Hashem Nagil V'Nismachavau? That's totally inappropriate. He's an Avelos. But on other people, even in the base Avel, this din doesn't apply. So therefore, if you hold like the Noda Bihuda's reasoning, so then the Avel could leave the room and everybody else could say hello. Or I saw the Pesachei Teshuva over there, he quotes from the Divrei Yatzev, it's not right to ask the Avel to leave. So everybody else should leave, go to a different room, and then say hello, assuming there's two rooms. So that's what some poskim based off Noda Bihuda indeed paskin. However, I think that we follow the view of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, no, it's a din based Avel, and therefore if it's Rosh Chodesh, you don't say hello at all. Then the Mishnah Berurah adds that Rosh Chodesh, since Hallel is just a minhag, so if Kevin Shenidcha Nidcha, and if it's not stated in the base Avel, they don't have to repeat it afterwards. So therefore, if it's Rosh Chodesh, you just omit Hallel from the base Avel, and then afterwards you don't say it at all. However, I saw quoted in Simcha Bunim Kohn's Sefer from Rav Moshe as well as Rav Elyasha that you should say Hallel afterwards, but certainly without a bracha, I would think Lamaisa. So I think we would follow the view of the Mishnah Berurah, not this, not what the Noda Bihuda Pesachei Teshuva, quoted by the Pesachei Teshuva says, which is that we would not say Hallel at all on Rosh Chodesh. And again, afterwards, if the people that daven there wish to say it without a bracha, that would probably be a good idea. Though again, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't sound like you have to say it at all afterwards. What about where there's a Chiyuv of Hallel, like on Chanukah? What do we do over there? So here too, according to Mishnah Berurah, you don't say it at all in a base Avel. And here, they should say it afterwards with a bracha, because there's a Kli of Gamur. So after they leave the base Avel, then they'll say Hallel on their own. What about the Avelim? This is a machlokas. So again, here, Simcha Bunim Kohn at least thinks that they should say it afterwards. The Avelim should say it afterwards without a bracha. Though again, from the Magen Avraham Mishnah Berurah, it sounds like the Avel should not say it at all, but Rav Moshe and Rav Elyasha are both quoted as saying that there's no p'tur on an Avel for Hallel, so at the very least he should say it afterwards without a bracha. Another thing discussed in our siman is Kaddish. So the idea of an Avel saying Kaddish comes from Chazal, though the source is not so clear. We don't have a source Chazal, which actually says it, that we have various midrashim cited by Rishonim, like the Or Zeruah, who have this idea. In Maseches Ktanos, Maseches Kala Rabasi, Perek Beis Halacha Test, the concept of an Avel being Mekadeshem Shamayim and that being a zchus for the Nifter is there. Though it doesn't mention Kaddish there, I think it says Barchu. And it has the famous story, or at least a version of the famous story of Rabbi Akiva. It says over there, Yibaylahu, Mechaprim, meaning, well, children, it's actually talking about Ketanim, Mechaprim of an Avo, so low, Tashmat, Rabbi Akiva, Nafak, Lo Asra, tells a story that, yes, we see children could be Mechaper on the Avon of the parents. And it tells a story about Rabbi Akiva goes to this place, and he sees this fellow, have a darituna rabal katfe. He was mamish carrying this heavy load on his back, and it was really awful. He used to be carrying these heavy wood, and then every day fire, and he would be burnt in the fire, and he would be created the next day, and he'd have to carry the heavy wood. He was running; he didn't have time to talk to Rabbi Akiva mamish, a gefer l'chamatziv. And Rabbi Akiva goes ahead and asks him, you know, what's going on here? Why are you being punished in this horrible way? And he says, I can't talk to you. I'm sorry. I have to go. If I'm not on time, I'm in big trouble. And Rabbi Akiva sort of gets out of him, what it was. And so Rabbi Akiva asks him, who was your father? And he tells him, my father was this humongous Rasha. He was a tax collector, and he would torture everybody. He says, I was a tax collector, Vayisi me roshe ha'am, the nosi panim lashirim, v'hori ganim, amalei klum shamata min ha'mimunim alecha, im yesh l'cha takana. So did you hear? Is there any hope for you? Amalei b'vakash mimcha al takveni, shema yergizu alai ba'alei pur anos. So he says, yeah, I heard the following. I heard if I had a child, and he gets up before the kal, and he says, baruch hu, and he says, kaddish, and they enter yesh me rabbah. So then I'll be off the hook, or at least I won't. This terrible punishment will stop. So he says, well, do you have any children? He says, no, I don't have any children. He says, well, there was this woman, and I left her pregnant, but I don't know where she is. And you saw the whole story. So he goes, and he finds the kid, and he doesn't know how to read, and everybody hates him. Nobody wants to tell him about it. And he educates him, and he teaches him, and he davens, and he still wasn't learning anything. He fasted for 40 days. And eventually, Rabbi Akiva trains this kid to be able to say Kaddish. And he says Kaddish, and miyad hetiru hames min ha'puranos. And he comes to Rabbi Akiva in a dream, and he says, thank you so much. Shetanuach da'itcha b'gan Eden. Shitzalta usi medina shel gehanim. So that's the idea of Kaddish. The Rivash cites this. He says, we don't really have this makor, but it must be somewhere in the Medrash. And it's cited by the various Rishonim and brought down over here. It's sort of interesting. The Darkei Moshe brings down from the Binyamin Zev and others that we don't say Kaddish on a Meshumet, Shemei Salmitaso. If the Meshumet is killed, if he's Narag, then you say Kaddish for him because that's some type of Kapara, but not if he's Mei Salmitaso. It sounds like from that Ramah that it has the same din as what we saw in Simon Shin Mem. When plus or Kriya or the like, anyone who's Parsh Midarkei Tzibor, we wouldn't say Kaddish for them. The problem with that is, what about this Maisa Rabbi Akiva, right? Because this tax collector, was like a Rasha Shemirusha. So I guess the answer, though I'm not sure, is that no, maybe it's Dafka on a Meshumid that we don't say Kaddish for them, if Mesa Mitaso. But other types of Rishayim, we would. So it's also Mavur over here that the kid says Kaddish, even though he's a Katan. This is brought down by the Maril. And Adiraba, that might be the Iker Kaddish of what we call Kaddish Yisomim, was instituted for little kids. And the Maril over there, Chadashu Simon Chavchas, was asked the Shaila, how could it be? How could a kid say Kaddish? Isn't it a Davish Bekdusha? So how could they do it? We know that generally speaking, a katan ain't a paris al shema. Why? Because he's bal hotzi ram dechovasan. And if he's not mechuyev bedarvi, he can't be motzi osam. So how could this kid say kaddish? That's the kasha that the Maril was asked. And he answers basically that this is not a chova, and therefore it's okay. He says, v'kul kaddish da'alma takana d'rabbananinu, other kaddishim are a takana, they're a chova, and therefore Katan can't say them. Of a Kaddish Zeh, meaning this Kaddish Yasom, Lav Davar Shebachayvahu, it's not obligatory, right? That's why you don't say Kaddish Yasom when there's no Avelim there. Hilkach Yicholim Tan L'Omro. And he writes, therefore it's okay. He says, Umash Nogim B'yesh Mekomos Lomar Tadir Kaddish Yasom, Me'eshin Israbe Shas Hazam. So Dave, maybe in certain places it became the common practice to say Kaddish Yasom, especially if there's someone who has already has lost both parents. The idea is that since it's not obligatory, so it's okay for the Katan to say it. The problem with the Katan being the Chazan is because he can't be Motzi Acherim. He's incapable of being Motzi Acherim. But over here, since it's not a Davar Shebacha, so it's okay for the Katan to do it. That's basically the approach of the Maril. And see that might also explain why many poskim allow women to say Kaddish, Yasom, and the like for a similar reason. We'll go back to that in a moment. It's still a strange idea, funny thing, because it is still a Darvish B'Kedushin, you need a minion to be there. But once there's a minion such that you could say Darvish B'Kedushin, the Katan could lead the Kaddish because he doesn't need to be Motzi Acherim. There's a Arichas in our Siman about this Seder of Kedishim, meaning to say, at least in the olden days, only one person was allowed to say Kaddish at a time. We'll see why that was. And therefore, we have to figure out who gets the Zchus, especially when there are lots and lots of people who might be Avelim. So we have all these rules that are brought down in our Siman. So Schechter likes to point out that people think that this Seder Kedim is like Halacha, but it's not. It really has no source in Halacha at all. Like the Ivitz cited over here by the Pisrei Tshuva says, it's not Dina de Gemara. And Rav Schechter likes to quote, this is brought down also in Pnine Arav, page Chav Ches, a story from the Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh once apparently was told that, who should go first? And he gave an answer. And they said, but 1 second, it's against the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham is a different Seder. And the Shagas Aryeh said, yeah, he had his Goral and I have my Goral. In other words, this is like a Goral. And we have to make some Seder to keep the Shalom. And, you know, you could say Svar this way, you could say Svar that way. And that's the way to look at these halachos. Now, because of this, it says in the Siddur Yaivitz that Be'inyan mi hakodem lamius kaddish mi doch lumi, lo atapel kan deminaga ba'almahu umato v'yasha minaga svardim. Ooh, is that? Shem Rabim Hema Kulam Zochem Bo. Everybody says Kaddish. Shalom al Yisrael. And this way, we're not going to have any machlokas and we don't have to resolve all these questions. I guess you still have the question who gets the Amud. But maybe it's not, you know, once everybody could at least say Kaddish, it's easier to figure out who gets the Amud. So the Sfaradim do this. Now everybody does this. The earliest source for this practice, the Shuvah Shulchos Ketanos, that was written by Rav Yaakov Chagiz. He was born in Fez in the year 1620. He was quite a colorful character. And he's quoted over here in the Pesach Chu. Where is it? One of us over here. And he's asked an interesting shaila. What's the din if 2, 3, 4 people are saying Kaddish at once, and they're not at the same time? So who do you answer? So he says, Rav Yaakov Chagiz answers, Tshuva, im kol echad toch kedei dibor shel chavero yane im harishon, whoever's first, v'yale l'kulo. This is sort of like we talked about, that toch kedei dibor works even prior to the din, right? If you do kriya, ter kriya before the guy dies, but it's toch kedei dibor works. So if you answer Yesh Mei Rabba even before he gets up to it, that also works. Or he says, oh yeah, I'm tenata achron, or wait for the last one. And as long as you're in toch kedei dibor for the first one, it works. So really, however you do it, as long as everybody's, approximately in the same area, it's just doing one, they're a second or two apart, that's not an issue. What if they're not exactly apart? You hear a lot of, one guy's 10 seconds ahead of the other one. So then he says, Nirish yana achar kol achas v'achas. So, okay, answer to each and every one. That could get a little complicated. Others, posts can give different advices. The Birke Yosef Simen Nanvav Sifkatan Aleph talks about it, as does the Eshel Avram and Kufchaf Dalet Sifkatan Vav. Some say you should answer Dafka the last one. Some say the first one. Some say the one that's closest to you. And it's really not so pashut. The whole idea of multiple Kaddishim is really not pashut at all. Poskim object, or objected. If you look at the Pesach Tshuvos, Simon Kuf Lamed Beis of Katan Chaf Beis, he brings a number of other poskim who object. What's so bad about it? So there are a couple of objections. Number one is if they're saying at the same time, Trei Kali Lo Mishtami. If they're saying it at different times, so it's like, you know, two Chazar Sashatzes at the same time. That's not right either. Rav Shechter, I don't know if you guys remember when he was an Avel, but when Rav Shechter was an Avel, he would never say Kaddish when somebody else was saying Kaddish. Ad Kedei Kach, that even if he had started and then he heard like somebody else saying Kaddish, he would stop in the middle. He would not say Kaddish if anybody else was saying, and certainly in voyeurs, that's what they do. It's not Pashat. You know, I think one of the reasons why we're so lenient on this is sort of like the same idea we saw in the Maril, that we allow a katan to do it, which is it's not a davar shebechova. So yes, it's true that for davar shebechova, you can't have two shluchei tzibor. Imagine having two people saying chazas hashatz at the same time. That would be totally inappropriate because that's a davar shebechova. Over here, certainly, at least if you have a minion of people answering each one, it's okay. And I, what about Trei Kali Lo Mishtami? So it will be Lo Gara from Alexandria. In Alexandria, they used to answer Amen to the Chazan, even though they didn't hear, because they knew that's where he got up to. So let's say I don't hear, everybody. So certainly if you have 10 people hearing each person, you'd be okay. But for me, saying Amen to everybody. The problem is that sometimes you don't have 10 people listening even to one, meaning to say somebody is saying it quietly or somebody's in a corner off at a different pace and, you know, maybe him to hear him, but nobody else is able to hear him. So this is difficult to justify. And Rabbi Shechter indeed says that if you hear somebody saying Kaddish and there aren't 10 people here, so only you're able to hear him because you're standing next to him, but you know that only two or three people could hear him. So you can't answer because it's not, he's basically saying Kaddish b'yachidus. Answer to everybody else, hopefully somebody else. There are those who try to justify the practice people do of saying Kaddish quietly. My son Isha Yisrael, page Kuflam of Ches, he tries to bring Pa'alim Chelik based up. It's quoted in Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn Sefer on page 296. Brings a justification for saying it silently. They're hard to really understand. And certainly, I think the better thing to do is to say it out loud. And really, it should be. The shul should try to encourage everybody to say it at the same time out loud together. In many shuls, the practice is that the avelim will go towards the center of the room so they could be near each other. Therefore, if they're hearing each other, they could all say it together, approximately together. And that's really should be encouraged. So everybody should say it out loud. Everybody say it together at the same time as much as possible, and that's the best way to do it. The best way might be to have all, but assuming that we're going to have multiple people saying it, that's the way it should be done. There's a discussion about Kaddish after Kriyas HaTorah, who gets the Kaddish, and Balkore or the Avel. There's a discussion about if you have someone, you switch up who's being the Shaliach Tzibor, so you have one person take over after that Kaddish and takes over Kedusha de Sidra, who should say Kaddish to Skabel. Should the person who said Chazar Shoshatz really should be the one who say Kaddish to Skabel, or could you say to Skabel some, because at least he say Kedusha de Sidra? The minhag is that we're makel about that. We say that we're not makbid that the shaliach tzibor say the kaddish tiskabel, even though it's not so pashut. Why? Fine. We mentioned before, we brought down in the Pesachei Tshuva the discussion of hash for women. And this is, again, Pesachei Tshuva Sifkat and Gimel over here, Shinayim Vav. And Simon Reish Chav Beis. The Chav Yad asked, is it okay for a woman to say Kaddish whose father had no sons? And the father had asked that Kaddish for 12 months. The minhag for Kaddish, many Rishonim was 12 months. We have the minhag to only say it for 11 months. So it's not to imply that your parent got the worst possible onesh. I'll call upon him. We do. Should we allow her to say Kaddish? And the Chav Zera reports that they allowed her. Yes, is that right? That technically speaking, it's not a. And Adriaba makes a lot of sense. It's a svara de gam bebas yesh to'elas nachas ruach nefesh, because she's the child, and women are also mitzvah al kiddush Hashem, and that's really what Kaddish is. It's being mekadoshim shemayim derabim, and therefore. Really, it should be okay. But he says, "Mikol makom yesh lacha shal day kach yachlashu kawach haminhagim." One can argue that this was a very, very fat. You know, this response was set well before the days of feminism and other institution. You know, other changes of the nusach. Or to the minhag based off of women being disenfranchised. What he's saying, what he had in mind, was that once you start playing around with things, so then once you start making changes, so the people want to make other changes, and the way we do things will fall apart, and therefore, before he writes about Kaddish, it's wrong. The lachain beneath. Shasifo Pearson Yesh Limchos. So therefore, there are those that say, so what if it's okay? So Vameava, for example, it's or Chaim Chilim in Reish Chaf Tesos Yod writes that the minhag was in Prague that the Zakenim would sit in the Ezras Nashim, and or he says Ezra space Haknesses. Maybe that was the lobby, not the Ezras Nashim. And they would say Tehillim, and then the Yaldos, 5 or 6 years, would come, and they would say Kaddish. And he writes that that's okay, but it's not right for her to go into the shul. That's inappropriate for her to say it in shul. And he says also it's not right if they're older girls, but... You know, younger girls, it's going to be okay. Gesher Chaim also, and it's Perk Lamed, Sam Ches Oshei, also says that if there's only daughters, so for Ketanos, it's okay. And he says, even in the Shul, Achar Aleinu, after the Shir Shal Yom, or before Baruch She'amar, but he doesn't like it if they're older. He brings a Shvus Yaakov that might say this. So there are different practices. Generally speaking, when you look at the Sfarim, there was a lot of hesitation for them to say them in Shul. One issue with their saying it in Shul is because of some type of or at least a breach of Tznius protocols. Another issue was, and this is very, Schechter's very concerned about this, that the Ezras Nashim might be considered a different room. And therefore, saying Kaddish is inappropriate because it's not, it's a Darsh Mekdush in a place that is in the minyan. In other words, if they're in the Ezras Nashim. So I think Rosh I think if it's just like a movable machitza, so then probably it's the same thing. If it's in a different, there's physical structures and it's a different room physically, then they couldn't say it from the Ezras Nashim, Elamai. So the only way for them to say Kaddish is to come down to the men's section, and that might be actionable for different reasons. If you want, there's a tshuva from Yisrael Meir Lau, I found on Bar Ilan. It's Sheel Shuvas Yachol, Yisrael Simon Sadi, who brings down a lot of discussion. He's pretty negative about it, basically along the lines of the Chavos Yair. There's also an article in the RJJ Journal, volume 1, page 23, by Rabbi Fink. Now, one of the sources that's usually quoted in defense of this idea of women saying is an article or a piece from Vefhenkin. Vefhenkin does allow it, and he thinks it's okay. Others are not so into that. That for the, you know, basically for the reasons that we said, told me. I think that one has to address these questions practically with a lot of sensitivity. A lot of times there's a lot of her good daughter wants to say Kaddish, especially if she doesn't have any brothers. And if you take that away from her, she will be very hurt or upset. And she is mechabenes l'shem shemayim. It doesn't, you know, it's not just this feminist thing. And, you know, it's a tricky question. I think it's become more popular. When I was a kid, I don't remember ever hearing women say Kaddish. Now, I hear it all the time. I think each case and each shul has to be thought about very carefully. Over here, whether the Avos Shel Tzibur Shabbos, the minhag is we don't do that. So during the week, being a Tzibur might even be better than saying Kaddish on Shabbos. No, on Yom Noraim, no. But if there's nobody else better than them, then we say it's okay. Now, just a little bit about this whole concept of Kaddish. You know, why does it help, and what's the point? So one of the places, the sugyas that really discusses this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, the sugya of Bra Mezakeh Abba. So the Mishnah, the Gemara over there asks, why is Amnon not listed in the Mishnah in the beginning of Perek HaChelek of all the kings that don't have a chelek in Olam Haba? After all, Amnon was a humongous rasha. So the Gemara answers, Mipnei Kvodo Shel Yoshiyahu. In other words, Yoshiyahu was a tzaddik, his son was a tzaddik, and he was Mizaka, his father. So then the Gemara says, Menashe Nami Lo Nimni. Then why do we include Menashe in the Mishnah? Mipnei Kvodo Shel Chizkiyahu. And the Gemara answers, no, very simply, Bra Mizake Abba, Abba Lo Mizake Bra. So a righteous son can be as chus for a wicked father, but a righteous father can't be as chus for a wicked son. Though, what's the pasuk? The pasuk says, "Ein miyadi matzil." There's a discussion. What about how could David said, "Amnon bini, Amnon bini," brought him up from the shavel mavir layers of the Gehenna. But typically, a child could be as chus for the father in a way that a father can't be as chus for the son. And that's why the Gemara says, "Ein Avram matzil as Yishmael, and Yitzchak can't be matzil as Esav." So Rashba in Chuvos, Chelek He, Simon Memtes explains that since it's the parents who are the cause of the child's existence in the world, so the parents live on through the deeds of the children. And therefore, when the child does mitzvos, so it means that those mitzvos are a result of the parents, and that acts as a chos for the parents. But the reverse isn't true, meaning to say the existence of the parents isn't due to the child. So therefore, the parents can't save the child, but the child can save the parents. And therefore, that is why saying Kaddish is a mitzvah. The Gemara in Kiddushin Lamed Aleph from the Beis writes that Kibud Av V'Em is b'chaim and b'meisim. How are you b'chaim b'moso? So the Gemara says one way to do this is Harei Kaparas Mishkavo for the first 12 months. What does Hareini Kaparas Mishkavo mean? So Rashi explains, Allah Yavo Kol Hara Haroi Lavo Nafsho. So the child is accepting on himself the suffering that should have come to the parent. And again, it's a child that says this, presumably because Bra Mizaka Abba. The Taz discusses the Shaila, well, why do we do this for 12 months if the say Kaddish for 11 months. He says, well, because you're sort of stuck in this case. For a Kaddish, you could just stop saying it. And therefore, you don't want to say it for the 12 months because that imputes the parents. Although you could continue, some people have the minhag to continue to being the Shaliach Tzibor. But you don't have to say Kaddish. It's not right to say Kaddish after 11 months. But over here, what are you supposed to say? You can't say Al HaShalom yet because they're not yet. Maybe they're not in Gan Eden yet. You can't. So are you going to say nothing? Where's the Kibbutz Avim? So you have no choice. You have to say Hareini Kaparas Mishkavam. Different answers are also given. Mefarshim explained, does that mean literally? Could you accept the punishments on yourself? And there's a discussion about this. It's a subtle point, but maybe we'll leave that for now. Another is that we don't say Tachnan in a Beis Avel. Why? Because Midas Adin Mesucha, and we're not Magbir Midas Adin. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch as well. It comes up in the Mishmura. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here for today. Tomorrow we'll have shiur at 12 o'clock, short shiur. We're going to do Sudas Havra, which is Simin Shin Ayin Ches. We'll also talk about that halacha that we mentioned earlier today of Ein Omrim Shmur Vagada Beis Avel, which comes up over there in Simin, in Siv Zion. We will also do the next Simin. We'll skip, but Shinayin Tes, we'll talk about Birkas HaMazon in the Beis Avel. It won't be so long. Then we'll pick up with Simin Shinpei after Shavuos Be'ezras Hashem. So again, tomorrow, 12 o'clock, not the usual time. Okay, have a good day.